Thank you, Miss Linda, Mariah, the choir. Appreciate those who have contributed this morning. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. The title of the day is Promise. We begin Advent season, and you may ask yourself, Greg, what in the world does Genesis chapter 12 have to do with promise? I don't really see that. I don't see anything about Genesis 12 and promise of Jesus' advent, his coming, all the things that we look for in Jesus Christ. Well, turns out we're not the only ones looking for the coming of Jesus. We're not the only ones that put our hope in his first coming. We're not the only ones that are looking for a second coming. We are a little bit different because some people still look for him to come the first time, but you know, that's just a here and there kind of splitting hairs, let's call it that. We look in Genesis chapter 12 this morning because in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, we get the beginning of the promise of God that was fully realized in the person of Jesus Christ. We can talk about Christmas and the coming of Jesus and all of the things that he gives to us, but knowing that Jesus was Jewish and that he came from Jewish heritage, we have to follow that heritage back and see, does Jesus have any connection with anything in the Old Testament? And he absolutely does. There are multiple all through the Old Testament that reference the coming of the promised one, the one who would make all things well, the one through whom God would fulfill promises that he had given. And in Genesis chapter 12, we have a promise given to Abraham. Actually, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, it's Abram. Abram was a guy, left his home place, went out by the command of God, and began to hear from the Most High God that he would be the father of many nations. But when he hears this promise, he's not that. Well, he has a wife, he has family, but no children. And so God begins to give a promise, and some people might even call that a blind promise. In other words, a promise that you have nothing of proof to validate. You've been given a promise, and you've got no idea how it's going to be fulfilled. You're not even sure the person making the promise was speaking to you. That's the kind of thing that Abraham is given. It's the kind of thing that the nation of Israel holds on to. Now you say, now wait, Greg. If you're reading Genesis chapter 12, Almighty God is speaking to Abraham. I agree. And I would ask this question. How does that look like if it's you? Now Moses had a burning bush, right? Balaam had a donkey. God speaks through lots of individuals or things or times and even angels. But in this particular, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, Now the Lord had said to Abram, Do what? He just spoke to him? Is that in your head? Is that in your heart? Is that in your ears? Did it ride across the sky? I'm not trying to make fun of Abram or his story, but I'm just saying, sometimes you hear what you want to hear, and sometimes you hear what God wants you to hear. And later on, whichever one it was, you'll find yourself questioning. You'll find yourself wondering if it was another person you were talking to that gave you a promise. Did I hear them right? Were they talking to me? If it's an individual you know well, you say, were we talking about the same thing? Because I know what I want their promise to mean for me, but I also am not really sure what they meant when they said it. Somebody could promise you a good meal. If that somebody's from another country, their idea of a good meal and your idea of a good meal might not be the same thing. So when Almighty God makes a promise directly to you, you might find yourself in a spot where you're scratching your head. What exactly did he mean? Let's say he promised you a spouse. That could turn out a lot of different ways. He promised you a kid. You might have in your mind a glowing angel. And if you've got several kids, you know that might not be how God fulfills that. You might hear your nation will get a great leader. It turns out he's Democrat. You can't ever tell what you'll get, what you won't get. Some of you say, well, great leaders and Democrats don't go together. So, Greg, that's not a good illustration. Others would say they absolutely do. It's the only good kind. Do you see what I'm getting at? When we talk about promise, especially promises from God, promises from the Bible, how God intends them and how we interpret them, there can be a lot of variance there, right? Even if we get the interpretation correct, how long before you start doubting that? Forget it. Get overrun with the cares of this life, as Jesus said when he talked about the sower and the four seeds. The four types of soil, excuse me. Abraham receives a promise. The nation of Israel looks upon that promise with hope. And yet here we are looking at it through the lens or the eyes of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this Christmas promise in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Get out of here. Leave your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Get out. Go somewhere you've never been. Leave that which is comfortable. Trust me. It kind of sounds like it's just get out. I mean, if you had traumatic experiences of being forced to go spread your wings and fly, leave the nest, as it were, you know, for college or right after college, this might be difficult for you to read. Get out of the house might have some bad ramifications in your past. But in the plan and the purpose of God, when He calls to get out, He's calling you into something. If He tells you to separate from certain friendships, you don't want to miss those friends, but if it's a God call, then there's a good purpose in it. God calling you to separate yourself from certain ways of thinking or certain influences in the world. And you say, well, I'm going to miss out on that. I really enjoyed that. But if He's calling me to separate from it, then that's going to be a good thing. And then sometimes, just like Abraham, He might call you to actually leave from one place and go to the next. Leave a school, leave a neighborhood, leave a state. I've left a few. It's always an awkward thing to believe that God is calling you to step in a certain direction, and then you begin to step, and no sooner do you step than the doubt just rushes in. Take a new job, look like a glowing opportunity, and then you get in there and figure out, oh, this is a lot of work. Yeah. Wonder if Abraham had any of those moments. What did he leave? He said, get out of your country, so leave the place that you're comfortable with, away from your family, your support system, all of those people that have been upholding you and caring for you, and out of your father's house. Now, why do we put family in father's house? Well, family is your support system, but your father's house is all your inheritance. All the possibility that you would ever be able to step into what your father has built and do something with it when he hands it off to you. And in that particular culture, the handing off would have happened while the father was still alive. In our culture, when we talk about inheritance, we usually consider it to be death. It's just differences of culture here. But God is asking Abraham to let go of everything for what? To a land. I will show you looks pretty good until you begin to think about the details. If it's a land that God had to show Abram, has Abram seen it yet? Does he know what it looks like? Does he even know the language? We watched a video this morning of international missions. They estimate that we're pushing right close to 8 billion people on the planet. Of those 8 billion people on the planet, how many languages? Anybody see them? 7,000. How many people groups? Did you catch that? Anybody? Bunch, preacher. Yep, there's a bunch. That's right. We want to support those international missionaries, but what we don't often have a conversation about is that they are moving themselves, quite often their spouse and their children, to a land maybe they've never seen before, to speak a language they've never heard before until they began to pursue this, and to trust their children to an education system. You think about how scary that would be. What a challenge that would be. And maybe we can get a little bit of an idea of what Abram was looking at. To a land I will show you. What level of trust is that? Parents, how about this? How about God rolls up on you during a sermon and says, hey, we're going to move your kids out of your school and into a different one. What's your first question? Might be why. Where? Who's going to be teaching my kid? How far do I have to drive? You got lots of questions, right? I find it an amazing detail about the life of Abram that God said, leave and go, and he said, okay. We don't have any details about Abram's relationship with the Most High God prior to this. We don't have any knowledge of what that looked like. We got some idea that he's descended from this guy named Noah that built a boat. I mean, you know, how many details do you really know about the life of Abram before he came to follow God? Not many, right? He came from somewhere over in Iraq or Iran or somewhere over there, didn't he? Yeah. Traveled a long distance. What's that got to do with Christmas? Well, here's the deal. There is a part to your relationship with God. It's not your salvation. Your salvation, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've trusted Him with everything for your eternity, and you've been blessed to be called a Christian, saved by the blood of Jesus and brought into His family. That's a beautiful thing. It's full of the grace and the mercy of God. He just brings you in with arms open wide. But then in the family, in the relationship with Him, there begins to be something similar to what Abram's facing here. Child, you're in the family. He loves you. He cares for you. He will watch out for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. All true. But as a father, He also has aspirations for you. He sees things about you, possibilities, opportunities you can't begin to yet fathom, ways that He would work through you to bless people around you. All of that. You'd think, I'm saved, it's just mine, right? It is, but it's yours in the way that a gift under the Christmas tree is yours. It's yours in the way that a promise of payment is yours. It's yours when you open it. It's yours when you deposit it and spend it. And so Abram's life here and his story is very similar to yours if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Oh, you're in the family by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But unpacking that doesn't happen until you hear Him say, let's go. And you respond with a yes. You can sit at the table and eat the turkey and be called a family member and never do anything with it. Wouldn't that be a sad thing? That the only time that you experience family is once a week around the table. Once a year on a holiday. And yet a lot of people treat their faith in Christ just like that. It's a once a week. It's a once a year. Well, we even got jokes about it. That's one of my Christmas to Easter Christians right there. What's their last name? Creaster. I don't know. You know, I see them twice a year. I don't know who they are. Imagine where we'd be if Abram had treated his walk with God like that. Thanks for the invitation. I'll pass. I just like, you know, being in the club. There are people yet to hear the gospel, yet to know about God, yet to hear the Christmas story, yet to apply it to their own lives. Because there are Christians who have yet to answer this call. Get out. Get out and go. So I got to leave my family? Some of y'all are like, hey, man, I get to leave my family? Okay, well, you got other issues you need to work on there, okay? But out from all that is comfortable to you, to what God may want you to speak, to say, to reach out. Say, well, Craig, I'm not a missionary. Yeah, but there are missionary possibilities. If you can hop a plane and go to the Bahamas for vacation, then you can hop a plane and go to the Bahamas for mission work. If you can jump in your car and drive across the state for a holiday, you can jump in your car and drive across the state to operate a VBS at a Native American facility. If you can roll down to Costa Rica to go fishing, deep sea fishing, you can also go to Costa Rica and work in an orphanage for a week. Some of you say, well, Greg, I'm no missionary. Oh, but you'd go for some things. The question is, will we go if he calls us? Abram did. And because Abram did, God responds with this, verse 2. You listen to me, and then I can do something with you. And he gives Abram a promise that's in three pieces. He says, I will, and if you're in your Bible and you want to underline or circle, it's a great spot to do it. I will make you a great nation. Greg, I ain't wanting to be a great nation, man. I just want, you know, live in Forsyth County. I'm good. What about Abram? I'll make you a great nation. I got a wife. I guess we're going to be busy over the next few years. How do you figure that out? I will make you a great nation. I can't do it with you where you are, but if you listen to me, I can do something that you cannot imagine. I will bless you and make your name great. How many of you know you can't really make a name for yourself until you leave the house? You can't. You cannot really make a name for yourself until you step outside of your home, the one you grew up in, the one you sleep in every day, every night, the circle that you find yourself in all the time. This is no different. Even if you're a homemaker or a homeschool parent, you still have to look and see, are there people outside of my little tiny circle, my safety net that I've created for my family, are there people out there that we can reach out to? If you're not willing to do that, then Abram doesn't become a great nation. If you're not willing to do that, then you don't have the opportunity to bless others and be blessed. You don't have the stories of meeting people that you can't even speak the same language with, but you can look in their eyes and they can look in your eyes and you know that you're both worshiping the same God. An experience unlike any other I can possibly try to describe to you. To be in a foreign place and go eye to eye with someone, shoulder to shoulder, arms in the air, singing the same song, you in English and them in whatever other language it is. But none of that happens if Abram doesn't leave home. None of that happens if Abram doesn't say yes. The promises were contingent. That is, they were built upon whether or not Abram would listen to God. Listen, this doesn't take away from whether or not you're going to heaven, okay? That is only by the work of Jesus Christ. It is only the blood of Jesus that can pay for your sin. But what you do with it, how many other people get to take the trip to heaven with you? How many other people get to experience the relationship with God that you have available to you? Yeah, all of that's dependent upon whether you obey. Let's see verse 3. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. This is an amazing gift that God is giving to Abram. A blessing, a promise he's laying upon him. To say, Abram, if you will step out with me, then I can do something through you cannot even begin to imagine. As a matter of fact, when we see it passed on to Isaac and Jacob, God begins to talk about having children as the sand on the seashore,
having descendants and people spread all across the planet. But Abraham's father of not North Carolinians, he's the father of the Jewish people, right? He's the father of many nations. And the reason he's the father of many nations is not just because the Jews have been prolific. The reason he's the father of many nations is because this promise of a land, a place to be, a seed, that is children, and then through those seed, those children, that multitude to bless the nations, a land, a seed, and a blessing, that promise is realized in the person of Jesus Christ. That seed, that son, is Isaac. And that one that picks up that promise is Jesus. That land, the nation of Israel. You say, well, Greg, I'm not there. I don't live in Israel, so I guess the land part's not for me. I keep a calendar on my desk every year. They send it to me through the Southern Baptist Lottie Moon. The Southern Baptist Convention. It has some Lottie Moon missionaries. It has some Annie Armstrong missionaries. They're all on this calendar. It's a little flip calendar. It's on my desk. And over and over and over, every week, I see a new missionary. And every week, I see a new missionary that has uprooted family and gone and replanted in a new community. And they replant in that new community. And guess what begins to happen? They begin to make new friends. They begin to build relationships. They begin to invest themselves in the community. And while they left everything that was familiar to them, when they go to that new place and they invest themselves in that new place, what do you think God gives them? He gives them a new place to call home. Now, they might not own hundreds or thousands of acres. They might not be the richest people in the community. But you might remember about Jesus, he didn't even have a place to lay his head on the ground. He didn't have a place to call his own. But he impacted that entire nation in his day. And he could walk up in any town and find a place to stay. Not because he was a dictator, but because he was walking in this promise, trusting God to make a way. The land, the seed, what about that? Does that mean I'm going to have kids everywhere? That's a crazy thing about sharing the gospel. If you have physical children, you know the burden and the responsibility of that. But when you pass on the gospel to somebody else, God does something between you and that person. There's a connection there. And now anytime that they need to call you, you're glad to hear that voice. And they're not your kid, if you know what I mean. But now they're your brother, your sister in Christ. You begin to find people all around, and that becomes your family. Becomes your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your fathers, your grandparents. Well, what about the blessing? I don't know about that, Greg. Well, let's finish up in Matthew chapter 28, shall we? I mean, that's a pretty serious promise there. I'm not seeing that I'm going to be a part of a blessing where all the families in the earth shall be blessed. Well, actually, for those that follow Jesus Christ, something begins to happen. For those that obey Him and begin to look at their place of business where they work every day as an opportunity to make connections with people that God can use to maybe bring the gospel about. They begin to look at those interactions they have when they go purchase a car or when they go to the grocery store, when they buy a house or they interact with someone refurbishing their home, and they begin to look at all these relationships as possibilities for gospel conversations and chances to talk about God. I had a man come to my house one day and he walked up on my house and he looked at my house number and he said, I had a dream about your house last night. I said, you had a dream about my house, man. That's kind of weird. I don't know about it. I'm comfortable with this guy coming in my home. He said, no. He said, I had a dream about your house last night that God's going to bless your home. I just want you to know I'm going to be praying for you. I was like, brother, you already got the job. Really, you don't have to use the gospel to sell it to me. It's okay. He was like, no. He said, I pray with other men every week. He said, and God had laid your home and your family on my heart to pray for you. Well, praise the Lord. That man takes his construction company and begins to look for opportunities everywhere he goes. God, where am I going to share the gospel today? Who am I going to talk to? And it's not always taking them down the Romans road. Sometimes it's just interacting with someone, encouraging them. Can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Are you doing okay? You look sad. Man, I'm just concerned. You look depressed today. Anything like that. We often look at Matthew 28. I'm going to read it to you. Where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, 18, now verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups, everywhere around the planet, wherever you find yourself, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The first thing I want to point out in that particular verse is all nations. Y'all, the word, and I've said this before, but I just want to keep drilling it in and get you to see this. It means all ethnic groups. You don't look at that verse and see all nations and say, well, there you go. I'm not a missionary. I guess it's not me. No. It's every ethnic group. And I would go so far as to say even working class groups. You know what I mean? Like every working class has a different language. If you're in healthcare, you have camaraderie in healthcare. If you're a teacher, you have to have camaraderie so you can all survive. If you're in the car business, there's a certain way of approaching people in the car business. There's a certain compassion for the salesperson. If you're a mechanic of any kind, aircraft or vehicular, whatever it is, you have a certain way that you approach one another and a way of talking. You have a common denominator between you. If you're a mom, you have something between you. If you're a grandparent, you understand that in every culture that you have some part in, you've got a connection with people. Let God use it. But every ethnic group is also every color. Every ethnic group is also every language. And you don't have to go out of Forsyth County to reach some of them. Right? Talk to somebody who's got skin color different than yours or doesn't speak English quite the way you do. Me and Dave Vermilia joke with each other all the time. We're of two totally different ethnic groups. He's from Michigan, I'm from Florida. We met in the middle. We don't know what we are anymore. Everywhere you go, the gospel is going with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Every relationship is a possibility. And when that happens, when people begin to come to faith in Jesus Christ, your place of business starts looking different. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, sister, I sure do appreciate you praying with me. You just don't even know how much that encouraged my heart. Brother, thank you so much for asking me how I was doing last week. We went to the prison a couple weeks ago. This guy walks up from outside and starts talking to us. And I don't know about you all, those that were there, I was kind of like, okay, who's this guy? He just like rolled up here and starts chatting with us and he starts talking and turns out that he had been an inmate. He'd been out since 2015, and he starts telling us his story. And I'm drawn in and connected and brokenhearted all at the same time. He said, Greg, why so many emotions? I didn't think guys could do that. Well, I was brokenhearted over my judgmental eyes. What I saw and what was actually there was not the same thing. And I was brokenhearted in my ears because he began to say over and over and over again, y'all do not even know. He'd kind of stomp on the ground, shake his head. He said, you just don't know. And I said, well, what don't we know? He said, you just don't know what a blessing it is to have churches show up here and just be a part of our worship service. They say, you just don't know. You can't possibly know what it's like to be locked away in there and have somebody care enough about you to show up here for a couple of hours on a Sunday night. I said, Greg, why are you belaboring all of this? The promise of Jesus' return is still being lived out. The promise that God made through Abraham and through Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel, yes, but to all the nations, all the families of the earth, is still being lived out. But it's only being lived out through those that take it and do something with it. Don't just sit at the table. I'm glad you come, and I'm glad most of you are still awake. Listening to me preach, thank you. I'm not trying to make light of that. But don't just sit at this table and fill your soul or fill your heart and not do something with it. Take it. Because you might look at what you've got and say it's not much. But to somebody out there, it could be everything. You roll up on the grumpy person on Monday morning at work. Listen, their spouse may have been chewing and cussing at them all weekend. And they show up at work to get away from that. How sad would that be? You might be the only encouraging person they hear from. But you begin to encourage them at work. And then they come to Christ, and within the next 6 months to a year, they start being an encourager. They start being compassionate. They start coming into work, and instead of complaining about how bad it is, they start praising the Lord for what He's doing. And this promise begins to be realized where you are every day. We don't do it so that our places of business and our homes would just be better places. We do it because Jesus has given us so much and we just want to share it with somebody. That's what a witness looks like. How do you teach them to do what Jesus said to do? I'll tell you how I do it. I tell them how bad I failed at it. When I'm personal, one-on-one with somebody, I tell them how bad I failed and how good God is. And then I'm learning. That counts. Do that. Don't keep it to yourself. Christmas can be amazing, but Christmas is only amazing if you give and receive gifts. Right? There's no excitement if you just leave them under the tree. And God has given you a gift. Open it and then share it and see if the promise of Christmas doesn't begin to happen where you live every day. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we've got to be here, for the chance we've got to look into the Word. Lord, please guide us now in this time. Lord, Abraham heard from you. You spoke to him and he answered. Lord, it's very possible that someone here today has heard from you. Lord, help us not to doubt it or question it, just to obey. To obey and to care. To obey and to share. To obey and give. To obey and reach out to others. Lord, please help us. For sometimes, Lord, I get so selfish in my own little world that I forget those outside of my blessed world. My world, Lord, that you have given to me, this little kingdom of life that you've blessed me with. Thank you so much for it. But Lord, there are people all around me outside of it that need some of what you've given me. Oh Lord, I pray that you would please help us to be faithful to what you've called us to, faithful with what you've given, Lord, and share it in whatever way we can. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.